Holidays bring feasting, fluffy dinner rolls, tasty stuffing, and your family's French toast bakes. With Hero Bread, indulge in your holiday favorites. Made with Hero Bread's sliced bread loaves, bagels, croissants, buttermilk biscuits, and more. And don't forget their Hero Hawaiian rolls. With 4 grams of protein and 0 grams net carbs. Hero Bread has you covered with 0 to 5 grams net carb and higher fiber options. So your holidays stay delicious and balanced. Like their 3 grams net carb pan of chocolate. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.CO. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains up to 17 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Hello and welcome to the Outdoor Podcast. I'm Dave Thomas. Thank you so much for tuning in to this show. Before we get started, we want to say a special thanks to the companies who helped make this show possible. And those companies include Easton Archery, Gas Bowstrings, Burris, The Bow Hitch, Scott Archery, and Trophy Ridge. Also, special shout out to Deer Camp Coffee for keeping us caffeinated throughout the show and keeping us entertaining for you. The Outdoor Podcast was created and produced by BowhunterPlanet.com. If you ever want to learn archery, please check out BowhunterPlanet.com and you get a minute to learn the skills you need to become an archer or a bow hunter. And now, on to the show.
Well, well, well.
Here we are again.
Tim, it's almost camping season.
It is camping season, you know. It's tough to be in the studio, let me just say that. We've had some, here where we're at, we've had some really great weather lately. And those great weather days just makes you want to go outside.
Just makes me want to be out there.
Really cool.
But
what?
So much to talk about. So listen, hunting wise, we have nothing to talk about. I'm gonna be honest with you.
No,
guys,
we've got a lot of other stuff going on.
We have more like other things happening right now, like track meets and swimming meets and stuff like that.
Yep.
But more importantly, life is happening, and that is what is important, right? So for you, you might be turkey hunting. This might be your time of year. Tim and I are probably turkey hunting. We don't even know yet because the schedules are so jacked right now.
It is.
My goal is just to get out anywhere I can and go turkey hunting, if I'm being honest. I don't even know, but I want to film it. I do. I want to try to put down some good footage and kill a turkey with a longbow. Just kidding. Ain't going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that would be fun, man. You know, I remember how long it took you to take your first one with the bow, because part of it was my fault as to why it took so long, because I screwed a couple of crossbows up.
Interesting. A lot of people don't shoot. And I know you don't shoot a compound in general, but I find it interesting. A lot of people don't try to shoot they always just want to take a shotgun. And I find it weird because it's like, why not shoot a turkey with a compound? Like, if you can, like, why wouldn't you? I don't get it. Like, I like shotguns. Don't get me wrong, but like, I don't need a crossbow. I don't need a shotgun to do it if I'm a compound shooter. Like, it's not that hard. Like, I didn't feel like, if you're using a ground blind, don't get me wrong, but like, I didn't feel like what we did last year was that hard. It was an 8-yard pop shot.
Oh no, it was amazing. And you know, when you're doing shotgun, I mean, you're not really shooting, you know, you're not really shooting long distance either. And I think part of it, though, I'll be honest, I think part of it is the fact that turkeys move around a lot, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, hitting something in motion with a bow is harder than hitting something in motion that, you know.
Well, guns just faster, right? The
act. Yeah, I mean,
when you hit that trigger, it's going to hit it faster. Yeah. True. Yeah. And that's, I guess, the advantage to that. But I don't know. Like, I'm not going to put down my compound yet. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like, why would I if I'm doing so successful with it?
Right on. Yeah, no, I like to do, like, if I'm sitting. Right. Well, if we're trying to call them in,
I'd propose it to you. Why you pick a crossbow over a shotgun?
Yeah. So if I'm sitting, right, and I'm sitting in a ground blind, I'll do a crossbow all day long. I actually enjoy it. Right. I love shooting crossbow. I think it's fun. But a lot of times I love spot and stalk.
Yeah, then yeah, turkey, I get it.
Right?
Yeah.
And spot and stalk with turkey, yeah, you can do it.
It would be hard.
But with a crossbow, it makes it really tough, right?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, crossbow or a gun.
So that's my
line of decision. I mean, crossbow or a compound would be hard.
Yep, that's my line of decision. If I'm sitting down, crossbow all day long. If I'm spot and stalk, you know, trying to you know, get up on them instead of calling them into me.
Yeah.
I'd probably choose a shotgun in that scenario.
So camping season's here. You know, turkey's about to be over. It was only here till May. So we're in the middle. We're basically starting right now, I would say. Was it April 15th here?
Yeah.
So it's coming up.
Today, yeah.
Is it today?
It is today. No. Tax day.
Yeah. So that's happening. For us, you know, camping is about to get kicked off here. And we have our own lot now. So we're really excited about that. Something we've been working on and trying to. It's like the perfect lot for us because it's in the middle of the state and it allows us to then. I was thinking, well, maybe that's the other reason I was talking about having the trailer up there. I was like, because I wouldn't mind leaving some blinds in there, some gear, because I was like, oh, I can just go to the ground, grab some gear, a bow, and go hunt. You know what I mean? Like, and I put it back and still be able to hang out up there and have room. So that was the kind of thing I was thinking in my mind. But, like, basically, we're in the middle of the state, so we can choose now if we want to try to find some state land in the area, find a new lease in the area that would be better so we can stay at our own campers, you know, that are ours. And, you know, it's like having your own bed at home.
Way
you
more
know?
Comfortable.
Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah. For I mean, sure. Then staying at the airport where we stay, and it's like a hangar and a cot and a, and you know, I'm 43 years old here. This isn't
Yeah, no, it is. It's just something about comfort, you know. It's something about staying in your own place that makes it different. When you have the option to stay at your own place versus somebody else's, I'm always going to pick my own.
Yeah, you know,
it's mine. It feels like home. It feels more comfortable.
And it's always nice when you know exactly where the salt and pepper are. You know exactly where the milk is.
You got it.
You know exactly where your coffee pods are or whatever, your Deer Camp coffee. You know exactly where you're going.
You know exactly how how long it takes the shower to get hot.
And how long it takes the pooper to flush.
Yeah, how long the hot water is going to last.
Yours is forever, apparently.
You want to know what season I'm not looking forward to, though?
Summer?
Like, it's the worst season of the year.
Tick season?
Tick season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not really worried about it. You know what I tell myself? I'm going Sawyer to the. I'm draining myself in Sawyer.
I bought 4 bottles of the yellow.
The yellow? Well, the yellow you can't put on your skin, remember?
No, it's all closed.
Just, you got to spray. Yep. But that's a good idea. I might spray my camper the outside with that.
We're spraying the inside.
Let it dry.
Well, yeah, we're spraying the inside for sure. You know what I? You know why I bought a lot too is it's good for it. You can use it. It's safe.
If it dries,
say, don't say good, but it's safe for dogs.
Mm.
Not safe for cats, which is kind of...
That's weird.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But it's safe for dogs, and I've been using it for years with my dog, and it does an amazing job. So, and it lasts for the same 6 weeks.
I forgot to tell you this. So strange. I got a package in the mail, and I don't know where it came from. I'm assuming Chris McGee's asking for things. I don't know where the hell this box came from. I don't know who sent it to me, and it's all this tick repellent for dogs. It goes on their collar.
Really?
And it's like a camo one, honey one. I did not ask for this. It's not any brand I've ever heard of. I'm like, what is this? Just sitting in my garage. I meant to ask you guys about it. I was like, did one of you guys ask the company for samples of this? Because I don't even know what this is. Like, I don't know who sent it to me. I don't recognize anything about any of it.
Not me.
So
I can
strange.
Tell you that, but that's kind of interesting.
They look cool. I just, you know, again, if they're just some Chinese thing, I don't trust it with my dog, but like, I got to figure out what if it's legit. You know?
My thing is too, like, when it comes to tick, it's got to be whole body. And, like, you know, it comes like the wristband mosquito things for kids, right? What does that really do other than right here for the mosquito? You know what I mean? And so if you got it just for the, you know, just around the collar or just around the dog's neck, yeah, cool. It stays out of their ears, but like he lays on me. So what is it? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I saw a video. That's funny you said that. A video of the different products. Sawyer wasn't in on this one, but some news thing did a thing where they put their arm in to a plastic thing and the mosquitoes are all in there, and they put different things on and they go wash it off and put a different one on. Well, that thing you're talking about did nothing.
I'm sure
nothing. I mean, they were just all over it.
It's like a citronella scented little rubber band.
But some of them did really good. Like some they didn't have, not a single bite. It was crazy.
I'll tell you this, you know, and Sawyer is not a sponsor of this podcast, but
they can be.
They can be, and we've hooked up with them years ago, and we're introduced.
They just sent
to
us some products. Yeah, but it's great.
I will not use anything else.
Yeah,
it's amazing. The only
Sawyer's
thing.
Amazing.
So I'm the guy that mosquitoes absolutely love me. They absolutely love me. If there's a mosquito on the property, it's coming for me first, right? And they're Picadera. I'm going to say it wrong. Picadera, and it's their blue stuff. You know, the stuff that you can actually put on your skin.
Yeah,
it is literally the only stuff that works, and not just works, does actually last almost all day.
It doesn't have a filmy feel on you, though. It's like you put the lotion on, it dries. You don't
the
feel
lotion
like
is like the, by far the best. I use the lotion all the time. It's amazing. Buy a big 64-ounce bottle. Don't buy all my stuff off of eBay or Amazon because I still need to buy some. But it's really, really, really good stuff, and I will not use anything
else. The that stuff's amazing. Like, I love it. I think it's great. It wasn't tested like that stuff. I forgot what he or how he did it, but it wasn't Sawyer, unfortunately, because I know it would have worked great. But when I went to Texas for that hunt, a couple years back, I used Sawyer before I went. Like, I heard, it's going to be a lot of bugs, so I sprayed with the yellow
one.
The yellow one?
Yeah.
I sprayed all my clothes ahead of time. My boots saturated them in it, let it all dry out. I wasn't wearing it for weeks, so I sprayed it all up. And then I got there, and I don't know if I put any of the other stuff on. I feel like I didn't, because I was wearing the tighter clothing,
Yeah, if you're full sleeve,
And it was all already soaked with that yellow stuff. Well, so I didn't get a single bite while I was in Texas. So keep this in mind. Not a single bite. Like, nothing bit me. Nothing attached to me. And everybody had chikkers bite.
Really?
Them. Everybody. Their legs were all red, and they're itching on the plane, itching on their arms. And every one of them, out of 15 people, I was the only person to not get a single bite on me. I actually talked about it on a podcast while I was there, because I thought it was so funny.
I love it.
I was like, you guys didn't even know what Sawyer was. And I'm like,
well, that's
really?
The thing. Like, I didn't know what they were either.
Gosh.
But now that I know, I'm not doing anything else. Like I said, like it just works.
It's crazy.
I've been on camping trips. We go on a 2-week camping trip every single year, but we're outside a lot. And I came back this last trip, I think I had one mosquito bite.
Well,
for 2 weeks, I'll take that all day long.
Well, sometimes they'll hit you a spot you didn't get.
Exactly.
Like the back of your head or something.
Yeah. Oh, man. But good stuff, man. But yeah, so that's the bad season. But camping season, man, it is so enjoyable.
So enjoyable. I can't wait. That's why I said, like, with this lot and having the ability to have things right and have things up there, like a golf cart, whatever, but it's just kind of cool. Like, it's like different. You can like take it a different step than we ever would normally take, because you can leave your camper at least in the area, you know what I mean, where you don't have to, you can tow a four-wheeler, you can tow something else. That's why I was like, oh my god, this is opens up the doors for all sorts of outdoor activities that I didn't even think of.
Well, and it's our property, our rules, which is nice too,
which is
right?
Real
so
nice.
You don't have to worry about where you're parking cars or anything like that. We gotta live together, but we did that for years.
Our property,
college,
my rules.
yeah, I talked to the wife about that. It ain't gonna happen.
Got him.
I love it. Yeah. But it was fun. So we kicked off the year.
We gotta plant a tree, though. You were saying
we do. We need to plant a tree for sure. But we kicked off the year by being able to surprise one of our best friends up there.
Johnny.
Yeah. So we kept this kind of under the covers from everybody. There was very few people that knew about what we were doing. And so when we ended up closing, it just so happens that we have a buddy that has a spot, up in the same area that we purchased ours at. And I set it up with a mutual friend of ours to get him up to that, to his property, to go look around and, hang out at his place for a little bit. And they ended up like driving by our place and swinging in. And he was so surprised. He had no clue we bought this place. He walks in and he's like, oh my gosh, it was so cool. So I think I got it on video, but he calls me the next day. He's like, hey, just wanted to call and say hi to my neighbor. That was awesome, man. Good times, so cool. Good people, good buddies. It makes it all worth it, That's sitting around the amazing. Bonfire, hanging out, talking, catching up.
It's just different, Seeing the actual stars. There was, oh my God, you see every star.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
It's just great. Relaxing. Just
except
relaxing.
For we now know there's ticks there, but that's okay. We learned. Yeah. We'll spray, get that out of the way. And
it is what it is.
It's pretty cool, though. I'm really happy with that. We
saw a lot of deer.
A lot of deer, guys. They're protected there, so it's unbelievable, though. They're huge, too. Huge deer. Like, big. Probably like 200-pound does.
Yep. I want to say we saw 25 just that
crazy.
One day. it was pretty cool. But yeah, so it's a great property. We're excited about it. You're going to probably see some live podcasts from up there on TikTok and other things. We'll probably do some recording up there too. So.
Yeah. I forgot to mention this because I don't think we recorded a couple podcasts that we lost, so I don't know where they're at. And I don't know if I talked about this, but so a couple weeks ago, I got to go see Travis shoot an archery tournament. That was really cool. He was shooting that Lee Amia we gave him, and he did pretty good. I mean, he did like, I want to say 260s, you know, not 300. 300 is the best. But it didn't really matter to me. Like, to me, it's not about necessarily hitting 300. It's about technique, getting better at what you're doing, crafting, getting more experience. Like, to me, that's what it's about, for especially for a kid. You
100%.
Know? I think for his position, whatever he got, 250, 260, whatever, I think it's amazing, right? Like, he's not going to be perfect every time. You can start to see where he's shaking, and you know, but it gives you an idea, like, what I'm doing right, doing wrong. But it's a good kickoff. But anyway, what I was going to say is, there's a lot of older people doing it. So a lot of older guys shooting, like Bob. They have like really high-end bows. You know, like high-end Matthews is pretty funny. I'm like, oh, there's the rich old guys, you know, like $4,000 rigs.
Yep. This thing's going to shoot itself.
A lot of little girls. I was impressed. There was a couple little girls shooting. That's awesome. I talked to one of their dads. The one girl was shooting a bear with pink strings, a bear Legend XR, one of my favorites. Yeah. I was like thinking like a Legend XR, and she shoots at Rising Phoenix. So like Rising Phoenix is a Target mecca shop here in Michigan, and Rising Phoenix specializes in target shooting. So like,
For her to shoot a bear is pretty impressive.
That's what I said. I thought it was weird. I'm like, wow, I'm surprised that she would shoot a bear after being over there, you know, because they usually shoot Hoyts or Matthews or Elite, something that's target related.
What's cool to watch is, like, you know, there's a lot of kids out there that, like, don't find a sport that they like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they try it all. They try basketball, baseball, soccer, you know, swimming, whatever it is, football, and they just don't like it, right? But then you got this outdoor sport in archery that I've seen kids, like, not like anything else, but love the archery competition.
Yeah.
Right. And it's so cool to watch.
It's just different, right? It's different. I mean? It's not like a simple, and you also get to fling an arrow down the projectile somewhere, right? It's kind of cool when you think about it, right? Like, especially with a longbow, you can see the arrow in motion, you know?
Yep.
But Easton match grade shafts undergo a far more meticulous straightness check with razor tolerance at both ends, the center, and the critical quarter locations. Discover the ultimate in precision and made in USA quality. Visit your authorized Easton dealer and pick up your Easton Match Grade Pro Shop Series arrows today.
Established in a small town in Kentucky in 1981, a company that produces quality products that archers have come to rely on. I started shooting with a Scott release and have passed the tradition on. As I've aged, the company I started with continues to innovate and produce the premium products it always has. My dad always told me, never forget where you came from. Well, I haven't. Shoot with confidence. Shoot a Scott.
For more than 20 years, Trophy Ridge has developed tools that bow hunters trust and continue to lead the way in bow hunting innovation. Our field-proven products dish out dirt naps all over the world. We've manufactured and sold millions of products along the way, each one strategically designed to give you a distinct advantage in the field. From the backyard and competitive courses to the backcountry and Midwest cornfields, our products remain lethal, accurate, and continue to help you react to the situation at hand. Trophy Ridge accessories give you confidence regardless of the situation. Our sights, rest, stabilizers, quivers, and releases set you up to be successful season after season. There are plenty of factors to think about on the hunt. Your gear shouldn't be one of them. We're Trophy Ridge, and we build the tools that bow hunters trust.
We are outdoors people, boating, fishing, hunting, and we are coffee lovers. My husband and I, we met at a coffee shop about 20 years back. So we've grown to love different blends, different beans, and different types of coffee. And throughout our time together, we decided that we wanted to create something for ourselves. So that's where this all came into play. Even though that this location is in the heart of Macomb County, it's in Sterling Heights, Michigan, we are known nationwide and overseas and in Canada. This location specifically, we have...
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
This is Michael Rosenbaum.
Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober. Or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
A lot of other Made in Michigan and Macomb County residents that were in the same boat. So they came walking through our doors as well. And so what you see here today is just a culmination of different vendors, products, partnerships, and Made in Michigan products in our store today. We have our hunting line, Buck Baits, which is lures and attractants. And we also have Uncle Henry's Gourmet Meats, which is wild game, jerkies. We have Honey, it's Great Lakes Pickling Company, which is a Macomb County partner. Williams Cheese, Youper Bars, and Mackinac Island Fudge. People come here for that as well. When customers come in, if they're new, they don't know what to expect. And they always get greeted with, welcome to Deer Camp. And then they start looking around. They start realizing it's a lot of home products that they have in their house, maple syrups and coffee. And it's not just an outdoorsman, it's women, men, children. It's the community that come in here and they like it. They sit down at our cafe. They might have a venison hot dog. a cold brew coffee, and they enjoy their time here.
But you know, the thing about it, guys, and one of the reasons we pushed to change our name to the Outdoor Podcast is because when I really think about my bow hunting experiences, my hunting experiences, it's so intertwined with the outdoors. Like literally, it's always outdoor related. Whether we're doing camping, whether we're hiking, whether I walk a dirt trail, you know what I mean?
Four-wheeling,
yeah. Off-roading, your Jeep, we used to go off-road. Oh, I mean, like, all fun. Those things still make me remember hunting at the same time, if that 100%. Makes sense. Like, it's all intertwined. And I, and to me, like, I used to mountain bike in high school. Did you used to mountain bike with me or no?
I used to. I don't think I mountain bike with you, but I was really big into mountain biking.
Yeah, because I went,
did a lot of downhill stuff back then.
So I did all those same things. I did all the dirt trails in this area. I bought a Gary Fisher back then. It was like the top notch. You know, it was like $800. It was awesome.
I didn't even know those bikes existed back when. You know, I was like, I was like on a Huffy.
They were American made back then. Now they're not. Yeah, but I was off road. You know, doing the mountain riding, and like I said, it was all. And I always was always a bow hunter, so like it was just always a natural thing to want to be in the forest at all times, doing different things. You know, even golf, right? People fishing. Golf. That's their thing. Fishing.
Well, that's the thing. Like when we're at a hunt camp, you know, when we're at a hunt camp, like a hunt camp for a week long.
Yeah.
We don't just hunt the whole time. We would get bored of it. You know what I mean? Like, well, we have to break it up a little
this
bit.
This is why, though. This is why our current hunt camp has never really been that amazing, because we don't have anything to do there that we can do.
Right.
Does that make sense?
No, it does.
Like, it's like we have the man looking over us at all times. You know what I mean? It's kind of stupid. We're like in our 40s and we got like supervision, right? No offense, but I'm just saying, we're at somewhere where it's like a business. You can't just do anything. Like, whereas a normal thing, like Tim, when he's with John, I'm like, hey, let's burn a couch today for fun.
We've never done that.
Let's go shoot some guns for fun.
But we could.
Let's go, you know what I mean? Like, we can't do any of that stuff. We do none of that. You know what I mean? So it's like, that's why I don't like that lease, is because, like, you can't actually do the fun things. Hunting's cool, but, like, after that, I want to do other stuff.
Well,
like,
and you're kind of held captive to that property. That's the other part. Like, we're not we're staying on the property that we're hunting on. You know, you can't just get on the four-wheeler and ride
somewhere. We should look into going to John's in the summer.
It'd be fun.
Is it close to there?
Yeah, it's not too far. We could get there in a day and back.
I'm just saying we could take the machines there and go have 100%. Ride around if John's
alive. Yeah, if John's up. Yeah,
John, absolutely. Can we?
But there's a lot. You know what I was going to tell you? It's actually even closer than John's place is. When we used to stay at Higgins, which is only like 45 minutes away, we used to do a lot of off-roading.
There's roads
up in
there?
up in that area.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So that's what I read about. Off-roading,
not only Jeep, but four-wheeler too. Yeah. So you can do one and the same. So.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'll ride the little one. You can ride the big one.
Oh, dude, I
won't be able to keep
up with you. Honestly, like, I love four-wheeling, don't get me wrong. But more than I love four-wheeling, I love off-roading in my Jeep.
Can you off-road in a Jeep on the same trail as a four-wheeler one?
Certain trails, yes.
No, so I just follow you.
Yep. There are certain trails you can do full-size vehicles on, and certain you can't. You just got to follow the signs and stuff. But there's a lot of full-size trails.
I'm really excited about this because I had planned. I bought another four-wheeler because I wanted to have one for my kids to use. So my kids are taking the classes right now, which are really long, a lot longer than I thought they were going to be. They're like probably a 20-hour class online, which is fine, you know, but my whole thing is I'm a real-world person. Like, you have to go learn in real life. You can't just read a book.
Yeah.
It'll give you some guidelines, but the kids are more experienced. They're not going to be, especially my one son. He's got to do it. He's got to action it. Yeah. I'd rather take him to private land, let him ride around until he figures it out, right, and then go over all the safety things like, hey, you know, stay to the right of the trail. You know what I mean? If you see brake lights, brake soon, right?
Yeah.
Don't just break your front brakes. Don't flip over, you know, some things.
The biggest
like
thing is self-protection, right? How do you protect yourself? You know, damaging the four-wheeler is one thing, but you don't want to damage yourself.
It's amazing to me. This is the one thing, it's kind of crazy. And you know, some of you guys live in the country. It's a lot different. Okay, so we're in the city here. And in the city, rules are a lot different than country rules, okay? Like, for instance, like, you can't ride a four-wheeler on the street here. Even in a sub, I couldn't ride. I do it, but I'm
arguably, you can in Detroit, but that's a whole other story.
Well, I can do it, but I really legally can't. So, like, if a cop pulled me over, they could take the four-wheeler, impound it. They probably wouldn't, but they could. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. So, but my point is this. Like, parents, for some reason, and I don't get this, they don't, like, look into any rules when they buy their kids things. Okay.
Either. Yeah.
So for instance, my son's friend rolls up in a mini bike, right? He's like, they're driving around this mini bike and my son's like, oh, I want to drive. I go, well, you got to wear a helmet if you're going to wear that. He's like, you don't have to wear a helmet to ride that. I go, oh, I go, Griff, time out, buddy. Time out. Let's go look at the rules. Let's go look at them. And what did I find in the rules? That kid can't even ride that on the street. He can't even ride that, especially without a helmet. There's no way. It's heavy. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I try to explain to him. I'm like, dude, if you were to flip and this thing fell on you, it's heavy.
Yeah.
It could crush your skull. It's not like a
and you're riding on the road with a vehicle.
That's super light. Yeah. It might hit you, but you're not going to die from it. That thing's like a little Harley. I mean, it's heavy. It's like a mini bike. You go to Tractor Supply Plus and buy.
Well, I tell my kids all the
kids
time.
Kids ain't wearing a helmet that has this. Parents. I'm like, how are you not making your kids wear a helmet?
Yeah, and then that's what I tell my kids all the time.
On a mini bike.
Listen.
On the street.
There's rules, and then there's dad's rules. And dad's rules are going to trump the legal rules. But I can tell you right now, whatever they say, I say, I'm just adding to it.
Yeah.
Like electric bikes, right?
Yeah.
When you're riding an electric bike, my one rule, and my kid's been grounded for not doing it because I've caught him not wearing his helmet.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the one rule I have. When you can go fast, and fast, 10 miles an hour is fast. Yeah. A head injury at 10 miles an hour, you're getting damaged. You know what I mean?
It's actually funny you said that because Griffin got a new BMX bike for Easter. His old bike's too small. So I got on this new BMX bike, because we have like 360s, you can see how fast he's going. Whatever.
Yep.
He was going somewhere. He was doing 12 on that thing. He was hauling, dude.
Yeah.
He's like, damn, this bike's so smooth. I can like get going on. I'm like, oh man, the kids are so fast. Like you just don't even think about it. You know, like wow. How
well,
fast?
Look what happened. Owen last year when we were camping, he biffed it on the electric bike at the campground. We had to take him to the urgent care. Luckily, nothing was wrong. But you look at his helmet cracked.
Yeah, that's crazy.
If he wasn't wearing his helmet, I don't even want to think about what we
had. Yeah, that's crazy.
And he wasn't going probably more than 10. Probably a little bit more than 10 if I know him. But, that's
all about
the
angle. Any weird angle. Some guy I know.
Depends on the kid, too. Like my kid, my youngest, he pushes the limit. If here's the line, and he will go up right to the
like
line
because that's the young ones are like that.
That's where he understands. You know, what can I do and what can't I do? Yeah. He's got to fail at
they're
it
all
in order
like
to
that.
Figure it out. So
everyone,
but that
them.
Is like I was like
mini
that.
Bike.
I was like that.
A mini
bike. Mini bikes.
That's like 10 times
man.
Worse than even like that electric bike. Because if he falls and that thing falls on his leg, I mean, it's gonna hurt. It's not like it's heavy, dude. It's a couple hundred pounds.
100%, man.
I was like, dude, because I rode it. He's like, you want to ride it, Mr. Dave? I'm like, yeah, I'll try. Because I wanted to see, like, is this thing, but it's like a real mini bike. It was like heavy. I could tell. Like, I could feel it. I'm like, this thing's like dangerous, you know. But kids can't even drive. Like, there's a lot of things kids can't even do that you think they can, but they can't. Like, for instance, I don't think the kids can drive the Massimo. I'm pretty sure they can't. There were some weird rules at that. You have to be 16 or up.
Yeah. Makes sense.
There are certain rules there with certain types of vehicles. Four-wheelers were okay because they have four-wheelers that go down to little kids, like little kids. That
but
was about no
three-wheelers.
No three. This is Michigan specific. No three-wheelers. Those are completely off limits.
Those are
older.
Dangerous, though, man. I rode one of those. Those are so easy to tip.
Yeah, Jamie used to have one, he said.
It's like, dude, I didn't want to ride it anymore. Like one small little jerk of the wheel and you're tumbling.
Which is not hard to do when you're hitting bumps.
Absolutely. Yep. I'll never forget the first time I rode a dirt bike. It was in college.
Those are harder than they look.
You know, BJ, you know, our roommate.
He used to race dirt
bikes, right? Him and his brother. And I went to his house one weekend, and he pulled out the dirt bike. So you want to go ride? I'm like, heck yeah, man! I know how to do this, you know. And so I get on there, and we go back, and we're hitting these little trails that are right behind his house that he actually built, like on his property. These bumps. This first hill comes up, and I just gun it.
Right? Oh, geez.
Dude, I gun it. I get air, my bike goes this way, I go this way. First time I ever rode a dirt bike. Didn't hurt myself, thankfully. Was wearing a helmet and all that kind of stuff. But, I'm like, yeah, you know. And so ever since then, like I got a bunch of buddies that ride motorcycles, you know, and they're always like, Tim, you got to get one. I look them dead in the eyes to this day. I go, listen, I said, I know myself. If I get one,
I'm dead.
I'm killing. I mean, that's just that I'm just like my youngest where if this is the line, I'm going right up to it. You
that's
know?
Funny. Dude, motorcycles are awesome. I wish I could get a motorcycle. I do. So, if I could ride a moped, even a moped, I'd be happy with. It sounds stupid, but if I could ride a moped safely, not me, but like people around me, I could ride safely throughout my sub or going to the store, I would do it in a heartbeat.
I know you would. You would. I swear to God, I would love to see it too.
I would do
you
would a be pink the guy. One, a
you'd
little
be
pink
the one,
one.
Straight back, yeah. Riding it.
Pink too. Bright pink with yellow. I'd wear pink shoes while I rode it so it matches. It'd be sick, guys. Oh, urban, my gosh. Urban air, baby.
You'd have the lights going.
49 cc.
Deck it out with all the lights and everything. You know, riding around.
I do that with my electric bike, pretty much anyway.
Love it, man. I love electric. If you guys have not tried electric bikes,
they're so fun.
For those that like, you know
what I found out.
I have been thinking about it. I love them too.
I don't think I like mine as much.
What?
Yeah, this is what I found out. So I rode the old one I had because Connor still uses that one, the Swagtron.
Yeah,
and it's a 500 motor, right? This new one's a 750 like yours.
No, mine's 5.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Yeah. So his 500, like, so say you go, right? You start going. It's real smooth. Like, it doesn't jerk you. Mine's instant torque.
Instant torque.
Every time. And I'm like, I don't like that feeling because I feel like I'm going to fall off, you know? And if you pedal, that's when it's really dangerous. Because I don't know. Can you shut that off, the auto pedal? It's terrible.
So I believe you can, but you got to get into the program.
Yeah, because that sucks, dude. Like, I don't like that. Like, that, because you go to stop and you pedal 1 second after and it goes, it tries to go. And I'm like, this is dangerous.
It's the problem with it is it doesn't stop when you stop pedaling.
Yeah, if you hit the brakes, it should shut off. Like, well, auto.
I think mine does.
Yours might. It could be nicer. Yeah, mine doesn't.
But here's the deal. Like, the reason why I like mine so much is, like, I kind of customized my bike, right? Like, I bought it stock. But I put a better seat on it, one that I could sit all day long on. I raised the handlebars up, you know, in addition to that, put some extra stuff on it, and it's just so comfortable to ride around on it. So, but it's off-road, too. I mean, we went on that one trail last year. That was so fun, man. Dude, the only thing I couldn't handle was that really big hill.
They sell a bike, Mahigo, the one I got. They sell that bike, but they sell a model that takes 2 battery packs. So you put the one in, and then the other one goes in the back like this. But it doubles everything.
Yeah,
can you imagine having 2 batteries? You wouldn't even have to think about how much power.
I mean,
especially for like 5, 6, 10 miles.
I've gone 15 on mine with still, you know, juice left in the tank.
Crazy
type of deal. And if I did that, I mean, you could get pretty much anywhere.
I'll tell you one thing, though. You don't want to pedal them home because I juiced out in the park and I had to pedal it back. It was terrible. And the seat isn't made for pedaling. It's like a gliding seat. So I started getting chafing on my legs because it was like rubbing the wrong way. Oh, it was so bad.
Yep.
I even got off and walked it at one point. And I couldn't get far. It was so heavy. It took me a while. And I'm like, this is stupid.
I don't know if I told you what happened. So we went camping down in Tennessee recently.
Well, I think you told me you died, right? Or something.
And So in Chattanooga, if you've ever been there, like there's hills in Chattanooga, but right at the top of the hill, top of the highest spot in Chattanooga downtown, there's this walking biking bridge across to the other side of the river. And like, so my wife didn't want to go, which is cool. Me and the kids were, you know, we headed up there and they also have this river walk like around the river. And we were going to do a whole bunch of that. Right. We get up to the top of the hill and we start to head down to get to the river, because after you get up, you have to go back down to get to the river walk again. And we started heading down and I realized I had no brakes. And I don't mean like you have to hit them really hard for them to work. I mean zero.
What the heck happened?
None whatsoever. And so like I'm sitting there going, I can't go any, like I couldn't get back to the car because it's all downhill, right? And there's car, you know, like there's no way. So thankfully my wife didn't go. I called her, she came up to where we were at and she picked us up. But you know what I did? It was my mistake because I maintenance my bikes every spring. And these have the disc brakes on them. And the disc brakes, I put new pads in it, right? And I tightened up the one side, but what I didn't realize and my own mistake is that on the back side of the disc brake caliber, there's another screw that you have to tighten up. And if you don't tighten it up, when you hit the brakes a couple times, it loosens it. And then all of a sudden positions it in a way that nothing works. And I didn't have Allen wrenches on me, of course, and you know, all that kind of stuff.
More prepared.
Yeah.
I read a whole article about when you go four-wheeling, what to bring with you.
Yeah.
It was like a tow rope.
GPS. We know that one. Remember all those times?
Have a GPS though, but you're right. Compass was in there. It said flashlight, a snack, water. There was just a group. Like, but the good thing is the one four-wheeler's got that big tub on the back, so you can like fill that.
Yeah. You know, now, does yours have like a reserve tank? So if you run out of gas, like you still have a couple gallons.
Don't know. I've never been in that position.
Because that's the one thing for me.
That's like ski-dos have those, like a jet ski.
Yeah. That's the one thing.
I don't think they have
like
that anymore.
Seeing if I could like travel around with like a little bit of extra.
Well,
gas.
I was gonna bring a gas tank. Yeah. I'm gonna tie one to the back of the one, a little one, little tiny one, and seal it, and then do like super, you know.
But you remember,
because they go like 90 miles.
You remember we used to go up north? I don't know if you were there the second year, but I thought you were there
just
the first year.
Well, you flipped.
Where the kid got lost in our group.
Literally, no, you told me about this though, but no, yeah, I wasn't.
So he got lost. There's two people that got lost. It was a teenager who was the brother of one of the guys that was with us.
Four wheeling guys weekend,
and these two guys take off on this trail, and it's like, you know, we usually do like a couple loops and then come back because nobody's really familiar.
They take
with
turns because there's a lot of people too,
and so it's like an hour. And then it's like an hour and a half, and then it's like 2 hours, and we're like getting worried, you know, like what the heck happened, you know? We literally at one point we left some people there, but we left in a truck and we're looking for tire tracks in the road from the four wheeler to see if we can tell where they went. And we went to a gas station that was like 5 miles away. Right, we ran in there because we saw tire tracks, and they're like, "Have you seen like two of these? Here's the kid. Here's the description." They're like, "Yeah, they were here like an hour and a half ago." Like, we sent them back that way, so it was crazy. So that happened 1 year. It was before cell phones. Well, before, I don't know if it was before cell phones, but it's definitely before cell phones in rural areas.
Get, yeah,
you know, there's no GPS.
I never thought of that. Yeah, because you could put a GPS
like a
tracker, a dog,
collar. or the Apple. Yeah, thing.
Those only work though if there's a phone around.
Oh, okay.
That's how they work. So if it goes off grid and there's nobody with an
it
Apple,
ping does.
The Apple's what pings it, not that. That just pings the phone, which uses the borrows the person's. So if someone steals something and they have an Apple, you're going to find
it. Or anybody around.
You're going to find it. Or anybody around the area, you're going to find it. So it works because there's a lot of Apples out there. But it's only good for, like, in my opinion, urban, you know, like theft. Yeah. If someone steals, like all of our electric bikes have a tag hidden in them. I hid a tag in every one of them because I figure if someone steals, they're going to have an Apple around. So 100%. I'll get the cops go get it. You know?
Yep. So very next year, that same person that got the teenager lost got somebody else lost the next year. And we're like, that's it, man. You're done. You can't go anymore. Like,
was it Kevin?
No. It was a friend of a friend, and he never was invited back after that. So, but it was crazy, man.
My favorite part about those trips, that one trip I did with you guys, is when you go, they're going pretty fast, and then you hit a puddle of water. It's just like,
oh, you slow down, the splash goes
it's
out.
Crazy. Like, yeah. I don't do a lot of four wheeling, so that was like, to me, that was like so fun. I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah, but you know what was smart of my buddy to do too, which actually made me feel, I keep hitting the mic, which actually made me feel more comfortable riding it, is he made me sign a waiver.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, okay, well, that makes sense. Like, at first, you're like, really, dude? I'm like 20 years old.
Yeah,
we're friends. Nothing's gonna happen, you know. But then, like,
then you
after
flip the four wheeler,
but well, it's not even that. It's like that. Then, like later down the road, I'm like, you know what? That actually made me feel more comfortable because it's mine now.
Yeah,
it's my response. No matter what happens, it's my responsibility. So I rode differently because of it. But I didn't realize it.
I always felt that way about those four wheelers because I'm like, dude, I don't. You know, like if someone's going to use it, like I feel like they should sign something, you know, like if you don't know them, like especially if it's someone not.
Well, he was
family.
Like one of my best friends and he still made me sign. And I don't disagree.
Yeah.
I don't disagree. So depends on how much insurance you have, I guess. It's really what it comes down to.
I don't know. That's why I always get worried about other people using them. You know, I don't know the rules and the, you know, I don't know, man. I don't know. I feel like you're an adult. You should sign your own. But like, I don't know if it works that way.
Well, it depends on the person that's riding it too. You know, he was smart enough to say, you know, I love you, but I don't trust you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I love you, but I know you're broke.
Yeah.
You know, type of deal where.
Well, but was that for damaging the machine though?
It was for everything. Like if you hurt yourself, it's on you.
Well,
like,
wouldn't it be on you anyway, though?
Well, I mean, depends.
If you're over 18?
It depends. I mean, there's some... I can see somebody arguing and saying, you didn't train me to ride it correctly, and you still let me on it. Mm. Right? It's your fault.
You don't need it, though. It's a driver's license, so technically...
Listen, I've watched a lot of Judge
Judy.
Yeah,
I was gonna say.
I've watched a lot of Judge Judy.
I don't know.
I've seen it.
It depends on your lawyer, how good a lawyer you have. You might be able to
that's the problem. Nobody wants lawyers.
Yeah, I agree with it. I don't know. Anyways, this is getting too long. We'll see you guys next time on here on Carbon TV.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.